I was just wondering when the choir was singing whether we should not have communion every week to fill the church. Last week it was a full house, this week it's a bit scanty. So I'm going to think about that with the Kirk session. Maybe we can have communion every Sunday. A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and our parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while, but also to welcome our brothers and sisters who are worshiping via Zoom, and also to acknowledge those who will be listening to our service from our church website afterwards. We've come together this morning to worship God and to thank Him for His love and faithfulness over our lives. And I know that all of us have come with our burdens, with our secret sorrows, and even with our joys. Let us listen now to the words of the psalmist for our call to worship from Psalm 98, the verses 1 to 6. Sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made His salvation known and revealed His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered His love and His faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst in jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 157, sing of the Lord's goodness. Thank you. Let us come now before the presence of our merciful God, acknowledging our sins and seeking his forgiveness first in the silence of our hearts. Gracious and loving God, we approach your holy presence with humility, recognizing that you are the source of all mercy and grace. We confess that at times we have not fully embraced the truth of Jesus' presence and the transformation it brings. We have failed to see the significance of your kingdom breaking into our world and lives. We acknowledge our need for your forgiveness and renewal. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have been blind to the needs of others, turning a deaf ear to their cries for help and healing. We confess that we have often been consumed by our own concerns and have failed to extend compassion to those who are suffering. Forgive us for our indifference and open our hearts to the pain and struggles of those around us. Lord, we confess our lack of childlike faith. We have allowed doubts, worries, and fears to overshadow our trust in you. We have doubted your promises and questioned your goodness. Forgive us for our lack of faith and help us to approach you with the simple trust of a child, fully relying on your love, provision, and guidance. We also confess, Lord, that we have contributed to divisions and conflicts within our relationships and communities. We have harbored resentment, held grudges, and failed to extend forgiveness. We have not been peacemakers as Jesus calls us to be. Forgive us, Lord, and grant us the grace to reconcile with those we have wronged and to seek forgiveness from those we have hurt. Father, we recognize that our sins have separated us from your perfect and holy presence. Yet we thank you for the gift of Jesus, who came to heal, forgive, and restore. We ask for the cleansing power of his blood to wash away our sins and make us new. Help us, Lord, to live lives that honor and reflect your kingdom. Open our eyes to the opportunities you place before us to bring healing, reconciliation and love into the lives of others. Empower us by your Spirit to be instruments of your grace and agents of your peace in the world. We offer these prayers of confession and approach with contrite hearts, trusting in your boundless mercy and the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sing for God's glory that colors the dawn of creation. Church Hymn 172. Thank you. Morning, children. Hello. How are you this morning? Good. You all look very good and very well. Now, I want you to look at the screen. What can you see? What? Crowns. Well, it's even written there, famous European crowns. Sounds like I'm about to give an address about European crowns. I don't know very much about them. So what do you know about a crown? Yes? Okay, it's used for the king or the queen to crown them. Like yesterday, what happened yesterday during the coronation of the... Yes?
They gave the
king
a crown.
Yes, Michaela?
And Camilla.
King Charles and the queen consort, Camilla. They were crowned yesterday. So the crown is a symbol of power and authority. And of course, you people know what that means, because how many of you watched that ceremony yesterday? All of you. How many in the congregation? Everybody. Oh my. Wonderful. So a king or a queen wears the crown. But being a king is different from being the president of a country. What do you think is the difference? What's the difference between a king and a president of a country? Can you try? Yes, Jemima?
The president
Yes. Okay. Jemima says the president looks over the country and the king or the queen sort of looks over the world. Okay. Well, let me put it differently. Any other answer? Any other person wants to try? Yes? Okay, Kyla? Okay. Another interesting answer. The president is in charge of some stuff, and the king is in charge of almost everything. Good answers. Now, the major difference is that the president is elected by the people, but a king or a queen is actually born. So somebody is born to be a king or a queen, and that happens. Unfortunately, I cannot be a king or queen, because I was not born into a royal family. So King Charles has become king because he was born into a family which holds power, the royal family in the United Kingdom. That's why he is a king. And yesterday, something interesting happened when, during his coronation, a young boy came up and greeted him and said, "Your Majesty, as children of the kingdom, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." So if you follow that service, you would have heard that. As children of the kingdom, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That even though he is a king, but there is a bigger king. And how did he respond to that? He responded, "In the name and in his example, I come not to be served, but to serve." So what does a king do? A king is not somebody who gives orders. Instead, a king is there to serve the needs of his people. So when they give you a crown, according to that interpretation, it's not for you to carry that crown and try to boss people, to dictate to people, but it is to serve the needs and interests of the people. And we learn from the Bible that this is the kind of king Jesus came into the world to be. He said he was laying down his life for our sake. He went to the cross and died for our sins. He came to serve us and not for us to serve him. So this is the kind of king that we worship, who is the King of Kings. Now, have you, any of you watched the movie, The Lion King? Have any of you watched that? I'm sure almost everybody. So Simba is a lion and who is born to be the king. And you can hear him singing that he can't just wait to become king. He's very anxious to become a king. And his idea of becoming a king is that he doesn't want people telling him what to do. Instead, he wants to be telling everybody what to do. So he doesn't want to take instructions. And I think the problem with Simba's interpretation is that he wanted to be a king over people, to lord it over people, to give instructions and not to serve them. But as I said, that is not the kind of kingship which Jesus preaches. Now, I said before that I'm never going to be a king because I was not born into a royal family. And I think most of us will not become kings or queens. But in our homes, we can be kings and queens in our own homes. And what I want us to learn is that if you are a king or a queen, it is not for you to say that you will sit and cross your legs for everything to be done for you. Instead, you should be doing things for the house and for others, serving the needs of others. And if they call you and send you, you should go. If they ask you not to do something, you should not do it. If they ask you to do something, you should do it. That is service, because this is the kind of kingship which our Lord Jesus Christ brings into the world. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom which you teach us through the pages of Scripture and in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you for our children as they grew in their learning and even in wisdom. Help all of us, O Father, to be servants, to learn from Jesus Christ, who came into the world as King, serving us and not asking us to serve him. We pray that you continue to guide us and to strengthen us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our next hymn, O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, is 154.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from the first book of Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 34 to 36. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen. And praise the Lord. The reading from the New Testament is Matthew 21, verses 14 to 17. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. And our next hymn or praise is My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before your presence, we ask for your divine illumination. Open our hearts and minds to understand the message you have for us through the words of Scripture, particularly Matthew 21:14-17. We acknowledge that without your guidance, our understanding is limited and incomplete. So we humbly ask you for your Holy Spirit to enlighten us and reveal the truths contained within your word. Amen. It is estimated that more than 30 million people yesterday watched the coronation of King Charles III of the United Kingdom. And so many people were shouting, "Long live the King." I wonder what would happen if we had many people like that shouting, "Long live the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." That is Jesus Christ. And I wonder what will happen if we put our voices to praising God as we should be doing. The British minister W.E. Sangster began to lose his voice and mobility in the mid-1950s. He had a disease that caused progressive muscular atrophy, and he recognized the end was near, so he threw himself into writing and praying. In the midst of his suffering, he pleaded, "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a regiment to lead." Sangster's voice eventually failed completely, and his legs became useless. On Easter morning, just a few weeks before his death, he took a pen and shakily wrote his daughter a letter. In it, he wrote, "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout." Do you have a voice and yet you don't want to shout out the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We are told in our text, Matthew 21, that when the chief priests saw the wonderful things Jesus was doing and how children were praising him, they were indignant. Jesus' reply to them was this, that God had ordained praise in the lips of children. And by this, he calls us to praise God for the things that he is doing in our lives. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we turn our attention to Matthew 21, where we witness a powerful encounter between Jesus Christ and children in the temple. And the passage teaches us valuable lessons about the nature of worship, the importance of childlike faith, and the transformative power of encountering Jesus. There are at least 4 points to this text. And the first is that Jesus' presence brings healing. In Matthew 21:14, we see that Jesus entered the temple and performed miraculous healings. The blind and the lame came to him, and he restored them to wholeness. This act of compassion demonstrates that Jesus is not only concerned with our spiritual well-being, but also deeply cares for our physical needs. It reveals his desire to bring healing, to bring restoration and renewal into our lives. When we open our hearts to Jesus, his presence can bring healing and transformation to every aspect of our being. For example, Jesus Christ can bring emotional healing. He understands our pain. He understands our sorrows and our struggles. He is a compassionate and empathetic Savior who offers comfort and healing to our wounded hearts. When we bring our hearts and burdens to Him, He provides solace, peace, and emotional restoration. But Jesus Christ can also bring physical healing. While not every physical ailment is instantly cured, Jesus has the power to bring physical healing. Throughout His ministry, He demonstrated His ability to heal the sick, raise the dead, and restore health to those who were suffering. Although not all receive physical healing in this life, we trust in His sovereignty and perfect plan for our lives. But Jesus Christ can also bring relational healing. He has the power to heal broken relationships and restore harmony among people. By following His teachings of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation, we can experience healing and restoration in our relationships with other people. His presence helps us to love and serve others selflessly, promoting unity and peace within the community of believers. But our text also calls us to embrace childlike faith. The children in the temple responded to Jesus with unreserved joy and praise. Their uninhibited worship teaches us the value of childlike faith. Children possess a natural trust and openness that allows them to encounter Jesus without hesitation. They approach Him with pure hearts, unhindered by doubts or reservations. Let us learn from their example and cultivate a childlike faith, surrendering ourselves fully to Jesus and embracing His teachings with a humble and trusting heart. But the text also challenges the status quo. The religious leaders of that time were indignant at the children's praise of Jesus. They tried to silence their exuberant worship, failing to recognize the significance of what was happening. This challenges us to examine our own hearts and our own attitudes. Sometimes people are looked upon as if they are less traditional when they raise their hands in worship or when they clap their hands or sing aloud. So we need to think about areas in our lives where we resist change or cling to traditions instead of embracing the transformative power of Jesus. Let us not allow the demands of religious routines or personal preferences to hinder us from experiencing the fullness of God's presence and His work in our lives. And finally, in our text, Jesus Christ affirms the role of children. Jesus not only accepted the praise of the children, but also affirmed their significance and importance in God's kingdom. He quoted Psalm 8, verse 2, declaring that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, God's praise is perfected. This reminds us that every individual, regardless of age or status, has a place in God's plan and kingdom. We are called to value and nurture the faith of children, recognizing their unique capacity to experience and express the love of God. As we reflect on Matthew 21, verse 14 to 17, we are reminded of the transformative power of encountering Jesus. His presence brings healing, restoration, and renewal. Let us embrace childlike faith, approaching Him with trust and openness. May we be willing to challenge the status quo, breaking free from traditions that hinder our relationship with Him. Let us also recognize the significance of children and encourage their faith to flourish. May we create an environment where people of all ages can encounter Jesus, worship Him, and experience His transforming love. As we welcome Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives, let us become vessels of his grace, spreading his love and compassion to a world in need. May our worship be genuine, our faith unwavering, and our lives transformed by the presence of the living Christ. Amen. And let us pray. Father, we acknowledge that we have fallen short of praising you as we should. You have done so much for us. Help us to recognize that and to lift up our hearts and our voices in praise and thanksgiving through Christ our Lord. Amen. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Hymn 543. Let us pray. Let us dedicate our offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for the world. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts filled with gratitude and a desire to worship you through our giving. We recognize that everything we have comes from your loving hand, and we offer this offering as an expression of our love, obedience, and faithfulness to you. As we give, we ask for your blessing upon our offering. Multiply it, Lord, according to your abundant provision, so that it may make a significant impact in the lives of others. May it be used to spread the message of your love and salvation, to support ministries that proclaim your truth, and to bring transformation to communities and nations. Gracious Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace with humility and confidence, knowing that you are a God who hears our prayers. We thank you for the example of Jesus who welcomed and healed those in need. We pray that you would help us to follow his example and be agents of healing and compassion in the world today. Lord, we lift up those who are suffering from physical ailments, just as Jesus healed the blind and the lame. We pray for your healing touch to be upon them. Bring relief to their pain, restore their health, and grant them strength. We pray for doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals who care for the sick, asking for wisdom and compassion in their work. Father, we intercede for those who are burdened with emotional pain and distress. We ask for your comfort to envelop them, bringing peace to troubled hearts. May your healing presence minister to those battling anxiety, depression, grief, or any other form of emotional turmoil. Grant them the strength to persevere and the hope to believe in your promises. We pray for reconciliation and healing in broken relationships, just as Jesus brought unity and peace. We lift up those who are estranged from family members, friends, or colleagues. Grant them the grace to forgive and seek forgiveness and open doors for reconciliation. Help us to be peacemakers and agents of reconciliation in our communities, promoting love, understanding, and unity. Heavenly Father, we intercede for children, just as Jesus affirmed their importance. We pray for their safety, well-being, and nurturing. Protect them from harm, provide them with loving families, and guide them in their growth and development. We also pray for parents and guardians, that they may have the wisdom and patience to raise their children in your ways. Lord, we bring before you the needs of our world, our nations, and our leaders. Grant wisdom to those in authority, that they may govern with justice and righteousness. We pray for an end to violence, injustice, poverty, and oppression. May your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we pray for King Charles III of the United Kingdom. We lift him up to you, recognizing that you are the ultimate authority and ruler over all nations and kings. We thank you for King Charles and the role he has been entrusted with as the monarch of Great Britain. We pray that you would grant him wisdom, discernment, and strength to fulfill his duties with integrity and righteousness. May he lead with humility, grace, and a heart for the well-being of his people. We ask for your protection over him. Guard him from harm, both physically and spiritually. Surround him with wise counselors who will offer sound advice and guidance. Grant him the wisdom to make decisions that promote justice, equality, and peace within his realm and beyond. We pray for him, including Queen Consort Camilla and all their children. May their bonds of love and unity be strong, providing a stable foundation for their roles and responsibility. Lord, we intercede for the nation of Great Britain. We ask for your blessings upon its people, that we may experience peace, prosperity, and harmony. Grant wisdom to the government, unity amongst us, the citizens, and a spirit of cooperation for the betterment of society. May the policies and decisions made by our leaders be guided by your principles of justice, compassion, and righteousness. Lord, we offer our own personal needs before you. Hear the prayers of our hearts, whether they be for healing, provision, guidance, or any other specific request. We trust in your faithfulness and ask for your will to be done in our lives. Amen. Please, if you are able, stand and let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Praise my soul, the King of heaven is our last hymn before the national anthem, 160.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.